Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Candid CyberSec podcast with Vandana Verma. Get ready to be candid as Vandana takes us on a unique journey into the world of cybersecurity, a world with many facets that touch people, process, and technology. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hi everyone, we are back again with another Candid CyberSec podcast with a very, very amazing guest of ours. That's none other than Shaira Shambhavan. And she inspires me every day. Like, I just think about her and there's something new that comes up. I know her from past few years, but the moment I met her, I can say that I did not feel that that was the first time I was meeting her in a country not known to me, but known to her. But still, she made me feel like home in Israel. So I would say she's one amazing person in cybersecurity, one amazing individual, and a great friend. But other than that, she's an amazing entrepreneur. So let's welcome Shaira. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Vandana. It's a great pleasure to be here with you today. And it's so good to reconnect with good friends and to talk about things we care about mutually. So thank you so much for inviting me today.
Pleasure is all ours. And so today we will touch upon all the candid things that we can. And mm-hmm. It's all about you. So when I get inspired, I always want to share the same journey with other people. But now it'll be from your mouth. So I remember you serving for the armed forces. I want to know about your journey, your experience with the military forces.
I'll be happy to share my experience in the military. Over here in Israel, we have a mandatory service in the military for both men and women. So everyone serves, and each one does a relatively different military service. Depends on what your draft was, what someone decided that you are going to do. The way they decide is that we have to take some tests when we are in high school. And according to that, you can be, you know, I ended up being in the intelligence. Some people go to the Air Force, some people go to infantry. So it really depends on different things that happened to you when you were in high school. And I was selected to go to the intelligence. And, I did not know this world from before. It wasn't as familiar as it is today. And I was like, okay, it sounds interesting. Let's see how are things happening over there. Now, one thing I knew when I was drafted to the military was that I really wanted to go to officer's training. Even though, you know, I didn't really know what military is and what does being an officer really mean. But, you know, I'm the kind of person who, when I get into something, I want to do it 100%. So I want to be in the decision-making position. I want to see the big picture all the time. So it was very natural for me to ask and then to for my commanders to let me take that training. So this is how I started my career. I remember first day talking to my manager, my boss, my commander, telling him that I wanted to go to a military, to the officer training. And he said, okay, how about if you just, you know, start doing your job and we'll talk about it later. but this is how I did it. And, you know, one message I can give to our audience here today is if you have a dream, if there is something you want to do, first of all, speak up. It's very important to speak up your dreams and your hopes. But then it's also up to you to prove that you're worth it. So I can talk on and on about how me wanting to be an intelligence officer, but then I also had to prove myself that they should invest in me and that they should send me to that training. So this is something I really had in mind, to show that I do more and I try to do better and that I care about more than just, you know, my mandatory tasks.
That's incredible. There's something which you just said, that you were part of the intelligence group. So yes. If you can share some kind of insights, that what kind of training it was, that was it rigorous, any specific tasks that were given to you? So how was that? How was that experience?
So first of all, there are so many different roles when you go to the intelligence corps, right? There is like a combat intelligence where you have to really help actively the forces that are, you know, deployed in the field. And there is the more strategic intelligence where you help the decision makers think and figure out what should be our strategy around different topics. There are the intelligence officers that have to collect the intelligence. There are the ones who have to analyze it. There are the ones who get to look at signal intelligence, and the ones who get to look at airborne pictures, and to figure out if there is a new rocket base somewhere in the Middle East that Israel should be worried about. So plenty of different things to do. I ended up doing, you know, several different things. I did from strategic intelligence to combat intelligence. I did both, and I did some more technical stuff in between. So I got to taste really a little bit of everything, and that really exposed me to many different ideas and also many different situations. You know, I've always worked in an office, right? I was never really deployed anywhere, but I got to be in some stressful situations every now and then. And it really, you know, it builds up the character. Right. Other, you know, stressful times in my life really looked like something that it's, you know, it's okay. These are stressful times and we'll handle it, because most stressful times for most people are not life threatening. Sometimes we're stressed because we have to submit, our thesis to the university, or there is a really big task we got from our boss, so we're stressed, but it's never life threatening. So it's really different when you do some kind of job that you know that the fruits of this job can save people's lives. So it really gives a whole different meaning to what we do. And I think that no matter what other job I will ever have in my life, it will never have that kind of meaning, like the meaning of saving people's life.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And the kind of job you are in, or we are in now, or the space we are in, we are not saving someone's life in a way, but we are saving the organizations. But that's nothing true. More beautiful and meaningful than saving someone's life.
This is true. And of course, I see a lot of meaning in what we do, because even though we are in InfoSec, think about it. Today, you know, a doctor, since our healthcare is so digitized, think about a doctor trying to run an operation without having their medical images, right? Because someone hacked their computer, put some ransomware on it, and good luck to you now. So I think that our job can really save lives from a different angle, in a different way. But, you know, I can't imagine our lives without internet, without network, without, you know, we carry our phones everywhere. So can you imagine your life without Wi-Fi? Absolutely not. So I really think that doing InfoSec, doing IT, doing cybersecurity, are all very, very important. Most of the time, people are unaware as to how their life is dependent on it. And it's okay. The everyday person should not be worried about, you know, about IT. The only thing that, you know, the common people, the everyday person should be worried about is to be aware of their private data that they share and to be aware of phishing emails and messages and to who they're giving their data to. Like, don't give people your a photocopy of your ID or your passport if you don't need to. But other than that, I think that the normal people are not aware enough to care about how the government is keeping their fingerprints in the database. This is why they have us to be their guards and to make sure that their privacy is kept.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Now, when you say all of that, I know you are a born leader or you have all of those things. And that's when you have come up with an organization. Now you're an entrepreneur. And on the contrary, you started off in 2020 when COVID struck us. And there were so many things which were going haywire. So I want to know about your journey with that, your experiences, your learning, and where you are now.
Absolutely. So yes, when I decided to hit the road and start my own initiative, my own startup, I thought about, you know, all the things that could possibly go wrong. Like, I don't have a good idea. I will not find a good co-founder. You know, some other company will have a better product that does the same thing as I wanted to do. You know, you think about all the bad stuff that might happen and how to mitigate those risks. But one thing that never crossed my mind was a world pandemic. I did not think about this scenario, right? So I quit my job at Dome9 Security on December of 2019. And started, you know, thinking about the next big thing, my new company. After a couple of months, my co-founder, David, joined me to work on our company together. And sure enough, you know, we already started meeting some investors. We got some pretty positive feedback. And then, you know, we started hearing some news about some kind of a strange disease in China. But we really didn't care about it because it seemed so far away and not relevant to us. But the more it got closer to us, to Tel Aviv or to the US, the more it got closer, the scarier it got. And people really felt like it's the end of the world coming, right? Like, we had no idea what's going to happen. People closed in their homes. And we started meeting investors over Zoom, which is rather unusual because investors really like to look you in the eyes, in person, in the room. So all of a sudden they're willing to meet us over Zoom. But then when you ask them if they're making business right now, you know, we got different answers like yes, but which is actually a no. And, you know, people postponing our meetings. So we were a little worried that maybe, you know, maybe we'll not get funded this year. Maybe we made the worst decision of our lives. I don't know. But we decided we're going to stick with our decision and continue working on the product. And also to see if we're going to find the right partner who is going to believe in us. After all, as at the seed stage, when you fundraise, it's not really about the product because the product is going to change. The investors really want to see what kind of person are you. And I think that this time showed them that we are many different things, but we are very, very determined to win. So I think they really appreciate that about us. And yes, we found really good VC to invest in us. And really in the heart of the pandemic, we raised $3 million to build our company. And this is what we're doing right now. And we talked before about our job as, you know, the guardians of IT. And this is exactly what we're doing. We're trying to make sure that our cloud infrastructure is secured as early as possible in the process. So instead of just securing it, when your application is running in production, we actually try to help software developers to deliver a product that has a secured infrastructure. So this is, you know, in 30 seconds, what we do, trying to help everyone automatically.
Wow, that's incredible. So that's where there's a proverb, where there is a will, there is a way.
Yes.
You made a way out of it.
To be determined and you keep on rowing even against the current, even if it's raining. If you believe in what you're doing, you don't have to be, don't be stupid, right? Maybe it's, at some point you have to figure out if there are some things you need to change or you need to do differently. But if you're sure that this is the right direction or this is a good idea, you know, if it wasn't a stupid idea, everyone would have done it. But you have to be a little crazy to believe in yourself while everyone else, you know, sitting in the comfort of their home and having the guts to tell you that you are wrong or that you're crazy. Maybe you are crazy, but this is your idea and this is how you make innovation. Other people think you're crazy until they join you.
I totally agree with you, and such a strong message that you should keep going whatever it takes. And you have to be a little crazy for that.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to. So be that little crazy person. Don't be shy. Be who you are. And if you have a crazy idea, just go with it. Go and validate it, first of all. Talk to other people. Ask them if that product existed, would you use it? And it's not for everyone. Even our product, I'm not offended when people look at me and say that they're not going to use it. It's fine. It's not for everyone. I know that right now it's more for the innovators or the early adopters, the people who are willing to try out something new they never tried before. That's okay. Once we are a commodity, other ones will join. But for now, we are talking and working more with organizations that appreciate innovation in security. And it's not for everyone.
I totally agree with you. And I am sure a lot of people have a lot to learn from you. And we all will keep getting inspired, keep learning from you. And be a little crazy.
Absolutely. I really hope I was able to inspire some people who listen to us today to chase their dreams and to wake up and make them a reality.
I am sure it does. So thank you so much for joining me, Shaira. It was such a wonderful conversation. And I am sure we have so many things to talk about. And our conversation are never ending, but I am sure we will meet again with something new, something different. Till then, for the audience, keep listening and make sure you check out Shaira and what she does with different things. She's amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Candid CyberSec Podcast with Vandana Verma. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.